So part of recovering a better way of thinking about all of this is the Western view of the Trinity has been fairly hierarchical. So even though they say it's not, it ends up being this hierarchy of the Father who sends the Son, who sends the Holy Spirit, right? And so Western theologians have done all sorts of backflips to say that this isn't hierarchical, but really the way that it's lived out is generally this hierarchy of God is the important one, this old white guy in the sky, right? And then sends Jesus, and Jesus only does the will of the Father, and then the Holy Spirit only does the will of the Son. So that's kind of the Western view of who God is that we have inherited. And there is a different way of looking at that, which is a social trinity, which has come through Eastern Orthodoxy fairly intact, and you can see it in the early church as well. And so you've got this idea that all three of these parts of God co-inherit. They live with one another in community. And even in Genesis 1, God refers to God's self as we. So God is multiple. God isn't just one. God is one in the sense of there's just one God, but God is also a community. So the mystery of that continues, but this sense that it's not just this dominating person in the sky who's telling us what to do, but that the whole idea is the relationship. So within the Trinity, there's a relationship, and between God and humanity, there's a relationship. So it's a way of helping us think more relationally. And so if you think of an ecosystem where all the pieces are related and you need all of them in order for the system to function, if you take too many of those out, then the system falls apart, right? So same with the economy of the Trinity, they call it, the way the Trinity works within itself, as well as the way that the way that God interacts with humanity, that God invites us to participate in that relationship so that each of us has a part to play as if it's sort of like this cosmic ecosystem that we're participating in that includes humanity and the rest of creation in bringing about the new creation that God is talking about. So it provides a better kind of visual or metaphor for who God is and what God is inviting us into rather than a relationship of domination where God tells us what to do. It's more of a creative and well-loved sort of a relationship where each person has a part to play. Coming back to this idea of eschatology or the end times or the sense of the kingdom of God. So friends, at the beginning of Friends, we talked a lot about the Lamb's War that we're engaged in. So rather than a physical world war where we're using weapons, we're involved in the Lamb's War, where we're bringing the kingdom of God to the earth in through ourselves. Not that we're ever going to fully realize that the kingdom of God isn't going to become fully enacted in this world, but through us, God brings pieces of the kingdom into the world. And we're fighting this Lamb's War for bringing peace and right relationship. So as we continue in that practice, we can recognize that there are things within the Christian tradition that both support detachment from this world, where Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world," and there are things that support the idea that the kingdom of God is here and now. So this passage that probably a lot of us as friends like in Luke 17 about the kingdom of God is within us, is within you all. It says plural you, so not just individuals, but when we're a community, the kingdom of God is within us. So we have the ability to participate in that kingdom, even though it's not exactly of this world. It's something that we are bringing about through our actions that do happen within within history. Within historical time. All right, so all of these things kind of are positives and negatives about Christian tradition. So we've got some good things and some bad things, some things that have been misinterpreted and have been made to serve imperialistic ends. But all that leads to the 20th century, when we started recognizing that we continued recognizing that we were creating environmental problems, because there have been people for a couple hundred years complaining about, you know, too much smoke in the air in London or whatever. But particularly within the 20th century, we get to the point where we're realizing we're creating a lot of damage to this planet, not just in specific localities, but around the whole globe. And so in 1967, there's this kind of really important paper that most eco-theologians point back to. Basically, if you read any eco-theology, they're going to refer to this guy. So he writes this paper, The Historical Roots of Our Ecological Crisis, and basically lays the blame for the ecological crisis at the feet of Christians. So it's kind of depressing because it feels like he's so right. So he basically says that because Christianity in the way that it has been practiced focuses on humanity being the central reason that all of creation exists, and creating the hierarchy that we talked about between different people and between people and nature, and this dualism between the spirit and the body, and changing our understanding of natural theology from you can't understand God in nature because then we can't control that, and so you can only understand God through the Bible, the written word, and the church. You can only come to God through the church. So previously there had been an understanding of you can know God through nature and you need some of that as well as the stuff that you learn in the Bible. So the change into you can only come to know God through the church. And then he also talked about the failure of St. Francis's other understanding of other created things being bound up in the salvation story. So he recognizes that there were people who thought that, you know, the rest of creation was part of the story, but the failure for that to catch on in a big way for the next millennia or so created this space where Christianity was leading us into a place that was unhealthy environmentally, as well as for relationships between people, of course. So basically all of eco-theology since then has been responding to Lynn White and saying, oh, he's really right, except for that that's not really what Christianity is intended to be. So that's how we've been expressing it. And yes, there are these problems within the Christian tradition and the Christian story, but that's not really the heart of what Christianity is supposed to be. So all of that to say that can we then move into a different place where that isn't the case? So can we move from this kind of medieval hierarchy of you've got, you know, these different tiers, and the land is just kind of the lowest level, and we use it for whatever we need it for, through the Reformation of kind of breaking down that hierarchy into a little bit of a better understanding of at least all people can access God, and even more within Quakerism, right, where each person has a direct access to the divine. But can we expand that even farther beyond into a more holistic understanding of our place within this created order?